And then take your Bibles, if you would, for a few moments and turn to the New Testament book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. We are conducting a Bible study that we actually began last Sunday, that it indeed is as much Bible study as it is sermon. Though I have a hard time teaching and not preaching. And the subject of our Bible study is the evil one, the one that the Bible refers to as Satan. And I have picked up this particular topic for a number of reasons. First of all, I recognize that the truth is stranger than it used to be. I'm not apologizing for what I believe or for what I believe the Bible teaches. But I recognize, based upon the surveys that we see across America, across our own state and community, that you and I actually live in a country where there are more people that believe in UFOs than believe in the person called Satan. The truth is stranger than it used to be. And so I found it necessary to pick up God's word again and say, all right, what are the essentials? What are the basics that we believe that the Christian faith teaches? Because there is no doubt that within the mind of the average church-going individual, there is great confusion today about what it means to be a Christian. What beliefs must I hold as essential beliefs, or as first principles, as the writer of the book of Hebrews calls them, to be considered a Christian? Because obviously, I cannot just believe anything and call myself a Christian. There has got to be a certain body of beliefs that through the centuries, the church has said, these are the essential body of beliefs that we have that qualify an individual as a Christian. And one of those essential beliefs of our faith is the belief in a personal embodiment of evil known as Satan. Why is Satan considered to be an essential of the Christian faith? It is because the Christian faith recognizes that if there is no Satan, then there is no need for the cross of Calvary. There is no need for Jesus. There is no need for repentance and faith and all of the things that we teach and believe. But if there is a real live devil, then all of these things become necessary. In your worship folder, there is provided a space for you to jot down and take some notes. We are going to be looking up a vast number of scripture passages. You might want to write them down in case you don't find them all as we're going through the sermon itself, so that you would have the ability to go back home and to take up your Bible and to read and see what the scripture actually says. But we begin today in Revelation chapter 12. Would you stand together as we read the Word of God? Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse number 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. Nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole earth. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you this morning in a real sense of fear and trembling and trepidation as we take up this topic today. Not only do we have that sense of trepidation, Lord, because so many in the church seem no longer to believe in Satan or give lip service only to him. But we come because we understand that this is an essential part of the message of understanding the gospel and the reason for the gospel. Lord, there are many today who would pervert the message of the gospel. We pray that it will be preached in truth, in simplicity, and in clarity this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will come upon us in such a powerful way today that we would see the truth of the Scripture and embrace it as the truth for our lives. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Surprisingly, there are a number of names applied to this one that we know as Satan or the devil within the Scripture. I would like to give you just a few and the references where later on you can go back and look them up and find them. Interestingly enough, in the oldest book in the Bible, which conservative scholars as well as liberal scholars tells us is the book of Job, in the oldest book in the Bible, in Job chapter 1, verse number 6, and by the way, that is part of your scripture reading and your scripture guide this week, Satan is referred to as one of the sons of God. Now, we know that the Bible teaches that God only has one only begotten son, and that is Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, this phrase, sons of God, is given for all of the angelic host. So the title that is here given to Satan in Job chapter 1, verse number 6, as included among the sons of God, refers to his origin as a creature, a creation of Almighty God, and the fact that he is of the angelic host. As we saw in the passage that we just read, this one who is known as one of the sons of God is also referred to by the name Satan. Satan is actually a word. It means accuser. And according to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, the accuser stands before Almighty God and brings accusation against all of the people of God day and night before God. He is known as one of the sons of God. He is called Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3, he is called the tempter. You will remember that time when he came and tempted Christ. So likewise does he tempt us. He is one of the sons of God. He is called Satan. He is called the tempter. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, which we read, he is referred to as the dragon and the serpent, which connects him with the Garden of Eden, a scripture passage that is not explained for us in the book of Genesis, is explained for us in the book of Revelation, that the serpent in the garden was none other than Satan himself. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, he is called by a Hebrew name, Apollyon, which means destroyer. He has come to destroy humanity. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, and this is a very, very appropriate title. It is one that we need to take home and take to heart. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 25, he is called Beelzebul, which is translated the Lord of the flies or the Lord of filth. And interestingly enough, in John chapter 12, verse number 31, he is called the ruler of this world. The ruler of this world. If you and I would like to recognize why we are in the state that we are in today, if you and I would like to see behind the scenes and would understand not only backroom politics, but would understand the immorality of our age, would understand the situation of the world as we find her today, there is only, according to the Scripture, one answer for why our world is as she is today, and that is because Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, is referred to by Jesus Christ as the ruler of this world. Those are some of the names given to Satan in the Scripture. There are actually more. But I wanted to give those as a way of introduction so that we would understand that the Bible is filled with an understanding of this evil person known as Satan. So what I would like for us to do today is I would like for us, with our Bibles in hand, to look up the characteristics of this one known as Satan. I mean, you know what I'm saying. You understand what I mean. If I were to say to you or name a particular individual, immediately in your mind, if you know that individual, you would begin to think of certain personality traits, certain characteristics that describe or define that individual for you. And in your mind, if you know the individual that I name, in your mind, you would immediately understand how you are to relate to that individual or how you would relate to that individual if you met that individual on the streets. Well, the Bible does not want to leave us unarmed. The Bible wants to make certain that we know the enemy by name and that we understand the characteristics of the enemy so that when we face the enemy in our lives, we know how to stand against him lest we also fall. So with Bible in hand and taking notes as well, I would like you to turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. You remember that the Bible doesn't have just a couple of chapters or a book and says, this is Satan and this is who he is and this is his origin and this is his characteristic and these are all of his names. Instead, throughout the Bible, there are particular passages that reveal to us his names and that reveal to us the characteristics of this one called Satan. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is actually giving his testimony of when he was saved. You remember, he's saved on the way to the Damascus while he is on the road. And as he is saved, Jesus Christ appears to him, and Jesus gives a prophecy over the one at that time who was known as Saul, that we know as Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. It is in that prophecy that Jesus gives that we are given an insight into the evil one. And this is what Paul is told by Jesus that he will do. In Acts chapter 26, verse number 18, that Paul will be able to open the eyes of the Gentiles in order to turn them from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, what does this passage reveal to us in our present context and study? What does this passage reveal to us about the characteristics of Satan? If you're writing them down, these are very simple. This is what it says. Satan is powerful. Satan is powerful. Powerful. The Bible tells us that he has the ability to attack the mind of man. The Bible tells us that Satan is the one that places doubt and fear into our lives. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that Satan is the one who is able to attack the spirit of man, that he is the cause of disease, that he is the cause of torture and that he is the cause of death. In representing the power of Satan, the Bible tells me in Daniel chapter 10 that Satan has power over nations. The Bible further tells me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18, that he has power at times over a city council. In John 8:48, we are told that Satan had power over a mob. And interestingly enough, in Mark chapter 4, verse number 39, we are told that Satan has power over the elements of this world. Now, that's an interesting one. If you and I hopefully own insurance, housing insurance, and if a tornado blows in or if there is some natural disaster, what is it that the Bible or what is it that the insurance policy says that we are covered from? What do they call that? Acts of God. According to Mark chapter 4, it is Satan that has power over the elements of this earth that brings storms and disaster. Interestingly enough, it is Satan. We also know that God has that power, but the Bible attributes it to Satan as well. Satan is powerful. And this goes to the next one. Look with me, if you would, at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If Satan is powerful, let's go a little bit further in our study. We understand that he was an angelic being of the highest order, what you and I refer to as archangels. He was cast from heaven, and the Bible does not tell us that he lost any of the power which God had originally bestowed upon him. As a matter of fact, the Bible affirms his power. In Mark chapter 5, we find out that Satan is not only powerful, we find out that Satan is violent. Satan is violent. Look with me, if you would, in Mark chapter 5. Verse number 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. This is Jesus and his disciples. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, we understand that Satan has a host of demonic beings under his authority. So whatever we attribute to the demonic, we can attribute to Satan, because Satan is the ultimate one in charge over those demonic beings. Immediately there met Jesus out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now here we have the example of an individual who is what we refer to as demonically possessed, and he is given this unnatural strength by the demons. We see that he dwells in the midst of death itself. He lives in the middle of a tomb, or in the middle of a cemetery. The Bible also tells me that he is violent in that he does himself bodily harm. Satan is powerful. Satan is violent. And we see this all around us today. I mean, how else do you and I explain the fact that there can be a short video clip that makes its way on YouTube and then goes viral, that unites the entire Middle East in violence against people who had nothing to do with that video, to the point that this past week, one of our own ambassadors and others that worked with that ambassador were murdered. That's what he's called, murdered. How do you explain that? Well, the way that some would explain it, they said, well, you know, it's just the way Islam reacts. Listen, I'm telling you that it is more to it than that. I'm telling you that there are groups of people around this world that are ignited to violence by none other than Satan himself, who has power and control over their hearts, their minds, their thoughts, and their actions. Satan is powerful. Satan is violent. Look with me, if you would, at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 in the Old Testament. Satan is powerful. Satan is violent. We looked at a portion of this passage last week. Ezekiel is talking about the prince and the king of Tyre. And scholars have recognized for centuries, the rabbis recognized it even before the time of Christ, that this was a reference not only to the men it explained, but goes beyond the men to the power that stands behind them, who is the devil and Satan. Notice what it says in reference to the one known as the Prince of Tyre, and ultimately to that one that gives power to the Prince of Tyre. Beginning in chapter 28 of the book of Ezekiel, in verse number 1, it said, "The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the Prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, you are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god, behold," look at this now. If it wasn't in the Bible, I would tell you it was almost blasphemous. "Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you." Satan is not only powerful, Satan is violent, and the Bible tells me that Satan is highly intelligent. Satan is highly intelligent. Have you ever taken up your Bible and read the book, short book of Daniel? Have you ever done a Bible study with others on the book of Daniel? You will find that Daniel, beloved by God and blessed by the grace of God, saw all the way into the future, not only the first coming of Christ, but all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel was given the ability by Almighty God to see more and to know more of the future than any other man that's ever been recorded in the Old Testament. Now, there were other prophets that saw the first coming. There were other prophets that saw the second coming. But there was no prophet that was given the exact time period of those comings except Daniel himself. And yet Ezekiel, who is a contemporary of Daniel, knows the works of Daniel, knows how God has worked through Daniel, recognizes in Daniel great wisdom, says that Satan himself is wiser than Daniel and that there is no secret that Satan does not know. That there is nothing hidden from him. Satan is powerful. Satan is violent. Satan is highly intelligent. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. As we continue our study. John chapter 8. Before I get to this one, let me just make a little mention of something. Satan is highly intelligent. The Bible says that there's no secret hidden from him. Do you understand what's happening here? Do you understand what the Bible is telling us about Satan? Now, you and I know, and it's possible that this helped lead us to the point of our need for salvation. But at some point in our past, some gospel preacher told us that one day we would stand in judgment before Almighty God. And that God knows every one of our actions, that God knows every one of our thoughts, that there is nothing in our life that is hidden from Almighty God. And it is quite possible That was an impetus to us, or for us, for the understanding of the need of salvation, because the preacher then told us that we needed a covering for our sins and for our actions when we stand before Almighty God. Now I want you to understand one other thing about the supernatural world. The Bible says that Satan has been given great power and intelligence by Almighty God. The Bible never says that Satan lost any of that power or any of that intelligence in his fall from the glories of heaven itself. The Bible further tells me that he is more intelligent than the wisest prophet of God that ever lived and graced this planet. It further tells me that there is no secret that is unknown to Satan. The Bible then tells me that one of the names of Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and that he stands before Almighty God day and night accusing us of our crimes and of our sins. Do you understand where I'm going? It is not simply God that knows everything about you and everything that you've done. The Bible says that God created Satan in such a way that Satan knows every single one of our thoughts and sins and actions. That nothing has been hidden from him concerning us. It further says that in his name of the accuser of the brethren, that night and day he stands before the throne of Almighty God, throwing up my sin and your sin before the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says about Satan. But it says more. Look with me, if you would, in John chapter 8. This is the words of Jesus. He's talking to the religious leaders of his day. And notice what he says in John chapter 8, verse number 44. You are, talking about the religious leaders of his day, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of a lie. Satan is powerful. Satan is violent. Satan is highly intelligent, and Satan is a liar. And it is amazing how many times in our lives we give in to his lies. We have a Bible study, or the preacher or someone preaches on how to be married and what the Bible says about marriage. The pastor or someone else proclaims from the Word of God how the Bible says we're to use our money. The Bible proclaims, and the pastor teaches, or a Sunday school teacher, or Trinity University, somewhere you've heard the word proclaimed about how it is that you're to raise your kids, or how you're to deal with conflict, or other things that are happening in your life. And so you know these things, and then all of a sudden a situation comes along in your life, and knowing the truth, we decide to go our own way and to do our own thing. And we usually say, yeah, I know what God's word says, but. And the end of that is, but we have chosen to believe the lie. Satan is a liar. Look with me, if you would, at John 13, just a few more pages over. John 13. If these haven't gotten your attention so far, maybe this one will. Jesus is with the disciples at what we call the Last Supper, when he is going to predict his death, when he institutes through the Passover meal what we now refer to as the Lord's Supper. And in verse 26 of John chapter 13, this is what it says. Because he's asked who's going to betray him. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I have given a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered Judas Iscariot. And Jesus said to him, "What you do, do it quickly." Let me tell you something. If Satan is powerful and violent, highly intelligent, and a liar, the Bible tells me that it is possible for Satan to enter into the heart and life of a human being. You and I are a group of people that profess to believe in Christ. You and I are a group of people that says that it takes more than just belief in Christ to save us. For we are a group that believes in experimental religion. We are a group that says that to be saved, we believe that God Almighty Himself must move and come onto a person, be they a boy, be they a girl, be they a teenager, be they a man or a woman, that we must be born again and filled with the Spirit of God to be saved. We are people who profess to believe such a thing. Let me tell you something. I've always been amazed that people who believe that a child of 7, 8, or 9 has the ability and the capacity to ask the Lord Jesus to come in their hearts doesn't understand that the reciprocal is possible. And that as surely as a child can ask Almighty God to take up residence in their life, it's just as possible that that same child or teenager or adult can invite the liar, Satan, to possess their life and their heart. I am absolutely amazed that that statement is astounding to Christians. And yet I know that it is. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come to you this morning. And in this Bible study, this very intense, very serious Bible study, that you would keep us from wavering in our faith, that you would ground us solidly on the Word of God, that we would not be blown around by every wind of doctrine and teaching of humanity, but that instead we would take your word and take it into our hearts and let it, the word of God, correct the teachings and the thoughts of our minds. That we might from this day forward think the very thoughts of God after you. We pray, Lord God, that you would be present with us as we continue this worship. In Jesus' name, amen.